You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe, and welcome to Episode 3 of Earth Station MCU. We're now up and running on iTunes and Stitcher, so please do subscribe, and if you'd be so kind as to give us a rating, we would really appreciate it. Spread the word to everybody you know, join our Facebook group, which is Earth Station MCU, and we hope to see you there. Feedback is always welcome on our Facebook group, or by emailing us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. This week we don't have a new episode of Agent Carter, so we're going to be talking about all the things that come in between Peggy's time and the beginning of Phase 1 with Iron Man, because we've had lots of references to things, lots of flashbacks and whatnot, so we'll be looking at that. We'll also talk a little bit of MCU news and the Ant-Man trailer, since we haven't covered that yet, and we'll be talking about toys and all kinds of good stuff. But before we get started, let's go ahead and meet the folks that are going to be on our round table tonight. I'd like to welcome back Mr. John Raymond. How you doing?
Oh, doing all right.
Excellent, excellent. What you been up to?
Well, you know, it's the same old, same old. You write a little bit, you work a little bit, and then you...
Then you know, do it again.
Ingest all the news that you possibly can about... everything coming out of Marvel.
I hear you. Definitely. Awesome. Well, I would also like to welcome my co-host from Earth Station Who, the Phantom Troublemaker.
Hey, Phantomaniacs.
And how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm working and talking, and I should be asleep also, so I might sleep as well.
Well, thank you for staying up. We appreciate it.
I can multitask.
Excellent. Well, yeah.
He can podcast in his sleep.
He probably can. He is also the host of his own podcast. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Of course. You can find it on needlessthingssite.com. It's the Needless Things podcast, and we do movies, music, wrestling, toys, any kind of dorkery that comes to mind. We have no regular schedule. It's just whenever we feel like getting together and talking about stuff, we do it.
Awesome. Cool. All right, and I would also like to welcome this week Mr. Brian Eason.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you, sir?
I'm fantastically busy, but other than that, I'm doing very well. Thanks.
Busy is good, though, right? It's better than bored.
It beats the heck out of bored.
Indeed. And you went to a convention this past weekend, right?
I did. It was I went to Scarab, which is a gaming convention in South Carolina. It's near Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a lot of buy-in from Gen Con.
Oh, neat.
So they're attempting to become the Gen Con of the South. Their numbers aren't nearly what the local cons in Georgia are, but mm-hmm. 5 years in, they're about 2,500 people and growing all the time, and they've got a lot of buy-in from the board game manufacturers and
nice.
The RPG guys. It's a fun show.
Very cool, very cool. And you were up there doing what?
This time we were just up there, but the Geek Forge was up there, which is my company.
Mm-hmm.
We were just selling.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of stuff does Geek Forge sell?
Oh, my goodness. handmade sewn items of geekery, like purses, messenger bags,
mm-hmm.
ties, bow ties, dice bags, that sort of thing.
Bow ties are cool.
They are very cool. And other items, jewelry, stuff like that. Anything that somebody will ask us about, mm-hmm. we can probably make it. So
fantastic, awesome, and that's all comics related for the most part, right?
For the most part, because uh-huh. we try and use stuff that is legally commercially available. We don't want to violate anybody's copyright, and there's a lot of stuff out there that's not legal.
Right.
So, unfortunately, there's not a lot of fantasy artwork or stuff to work with there, so it's usually Marvel and DC stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, so so let's go ahead and jump in on some news from this week. What do you guys got? What's been interesting that we've heard about Marvel this week?
Well, I was kind of happy to see the Chris Pratt, Chris Evans football rivalry only because of what stakes were on the table. If the for people who haven't followed it, Chris Pratt and Chris Evans's teams are fading off in the Super Bowl, and they have bet one another that the has to go in him to children's.
That's hospital. Pretty cool.
So, that is good stakes for and they seem to be having a lot of fun with it.
And they add a little twist to it too. I noticed, for example, if the Patriots win, Pratt has to go to the hospital at Star Ward, but also wearing a.
That's correct.
And. If, of course, the Patriots lose, like we certainly hope that they will.
Oh, you just stop right there, sir. I am from New England.
Then Chris Evans has to address as Captain America and waving a 12 flag.
All right.
Outstanding.
We also had, there was a big hubbub about Marvel making a big announcement.
And that was all, 616, you know, comic book universe stuff. Jonathan Hickman's been running a very long, what I call a long game that actually, that goes all the way back to when he was writing S.H.I.E.L.D., that's going to sort of relaunch the idea of, Secret Wars. A bunch of the, universes are going to get merged together into one battlefield, and the result, the rumors continue to be that there's going to be one coherent universe that matches the comics, but
that would be interesting.
But that is, matches the MCU, but that's
right.
Not doesn't seem to be what the plan is. So
yeah,
we'll have to wait and find out.
Yeah. So for the time being, it's interesting for comics folks, but doesn't really impact the MCU. And even if it does, it will probably be bringing the comics more in line with the MCU. Mm-hmm. So. That's pretty nifty.
Well, I think any changes they make will be very organic in both universes.
Right.
I think Marvel is very aware of not rocking either boat too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, it's possible that the comics changes. One, they're doing a lot of house cleaning is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
They want to line things up and get it all neat and pretty. But it also, you know, may make it where things that happen in the movies and the comics can more easily reflect each other without being too jarring, which personally I don't have a problem with.
No, I agree. And they've got a history of, and even a recent history of taking some of their older, concepts and trying to integrate them into the 616 universe without ever doing away with the old stuff.
Right.
Star Brand and Night Mask, for example, and we're getting far afield here, but.
Yeah, we are kind of going a bit far afield from the MCU, but still, it's interesting stuff because, you know, in Marvel, it's all connected and it's neat. That's kind of what we're going to be talking about in our main part tonight is the way that, they are weaving together different things from different comics, such as, you know, who made Ultron and how all that ties in. So
everything back into the MCU with this, one of the things that, or the rumors I've heard that concerns me is kind of that they're, when they retool it, they're going to do it with more, more Inhumans rather than mutants.
Right.
And I guess that all stems from Fox kind of owning all the movie rights to the word mutant and everything that happened with the kerfuffle of trying to have Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in both Days of Future Past and Avengers Age of Ultron. So I'm kind of hoping that doesn't necessarily happen as much because I do like mutants and I want one day for Fox and Disney to be able to work out their issues and come together in joyous harmony so that we can have mutants in the MCU.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful, but I think that, you know, it certainly looks like they're going to be pushing the Inhumans concept or brand or whatever a lot, the way that they're tying it in with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
and other stuff. So I think that that's probably going to happen to some degree.
Yeah, and we've already started well down that path in the comics, because Ms. Marvel, one of their better written books right now, main character is an Inhuman. There's been a new Inhuman title come out.
Right.
And, for better or worse, that's where we're going.
It's a thing that's going
to happen. And what I'm saying is I love the Inhumans. I'm totally happy with them being the part of the universe. I just, you know, I don't really want it to be at the cost of mutants in the X-Men universe.
I completely
agree.
Sure.
It doesn't want to – we don't necessarily want the revelation that all mutants are actually Inhumans and have all along, which I think is kind of one of the things that I don't even know that it's been hinted at, but it is a rumored fix for
Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Right. Well, that's done, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's the problem really is just Fox being so unreliable with their movie properties. They've made great stuff, and they've made the worst comic book movies I've ever seen, also.
Could be worse. Yeah. They could be Sony.
There is that. So, alrighty. So, the other thing I wanted to talk about is going back. This is something that came out a little while ago, but it was before we started doing Earth Station MCU, was the Ant-Man trailer. So what did you guys think of that?
I liked it. I thought it was really funny, had a good sense of humor about itself Paul Rudd sort of does it himself at the end with, can we change the name?
Right.
Yeah, Ant-Man's no stupider a name than Spider-Man or Batman at the end of the day, except that nobody really has phobias about ants.
Speak for yourself, buddy.
All right.
Hey, there's got to be somebody out there.
I was going to say Georgia fire ants. I don't know about that.
Fair enough. So it looks like it has a good sense of humor about itself. There's a long history on this one, and I don't know if you guys have touched on it previously, but this was all started before the cohesive MCU. And I've got a couple of friends that have worked on this picture in special effects and art capacity, and they're super excited about it.
They also shot it in Atlanta.
They
did. Right?
They shot in and around Georgia. So there's some interesting character choices that they made, because going with Scott Lang instead of going with Hank Pym, but having Hank Pym in the movie, having the villain be Yellow Jacket, but not be Hank Pym's Yellow Jacket, were interesting choices. And having Hope Van Dyne in there, just a real brief thing on that. In the comics, Hank Pym, the original Ant-Man, is married to Janet Van Dyne, and they did a all ages book called A Next, which was about a future Avengers that were all the children of the original Avengers, and Hope Van Dyne was actually a supervillain in that series. Oh, so I'm interested to see what they do with her, and I really like Evangeline Lilly. So
I think the trailer was what it needed to be. They're not going to give away too much of the story at this point.
Right.
They just wanted to show you, look, it's something different. Because it's not Guardians of the Galaxy. It's not Winter Soldier. It's its own thing. And I think the trailer conveyed that very well. My hopes, this is my Ant-Man plan, which I'm sure none of this will bear out. But what I would love is for the first 10 or 15 minutes of the movie to be Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne in the 60s. Fighting crime. Having fun, fighting crime. Like, not Batman 66 fighting crime.
Right.
But
right.
That,
like, no pow, oh, bam.
That 60s Avengers style, like, British Avengers, not Avengers. But just a very 60s feel to it. And that opens us up, and then we move into the movie. And then next year, when we have the S.H.I.E.L.D. Hiatus, and, because I don't imagine they'll do another Agent Carter, they could do Ant-Man and...
I hope they do, personally.
Whoa. Let's not think that yet.
Well, I like the idea of doing these mini-series and focusing on different time periods, and I think it would be very cool to do a 60s mini-series in the same way that they've done Agent Carter, and you could focus on whoever they would cast as the young Ant-Man and Wasp, put them in that show. I would definitely watch that.
Yeah, I'd watch that, and I need Jan Van Dyne to be wearing mod dresses in crazy paisleys, and I want it to look like Austin Powers threw up on that show.
Yeah, and see, we have Mad Men to thank for, like, that era being in the public mind right now.
Yeah, being cool, I guess. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Well, I think that...
Well, I was going to throw in my two cents on the trailer.
Yeah.
I thought it was... I definitely liked it. I'm very excited to see it now, like, you know, well, I was before, but even more so now. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea that rather than just talking up the kind of the heist element that we've been hearing about for so long, that they went with the kind of the second chances that, you know, here that, you know, Hank Pym is coming to Scott Lang and is like, here's your chance to redeem yourself. Here's a chance almost to redeem this tech that I created as well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think it'll be, as I was doing my little dipping my toe in, looking at, a little bit of the comics history with that, Hank did some not good things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that went down a dark road real quick because,
Not just like supervillain
He was
the first wife beater in comics, I believe.
And unintentionally so, because the artist interpreted apparently the writing of he pushes her away or hits her to get him off or off him to he hit his wife backhanded into the floor. And once that had been drawn and published, they were stuck. From then on, he was a wife beater. And then when they did the Ultimates version, which the MCU draws so much from, he was a straight up wife beater. He was just a terrible person.
Well, and I think it makes for an interesting character though. And just like they haven't really dealt with Tony Stark's alcoholism in the MCU, I'm sure they're not going to get too deep into Hank Pym's issues.
Right.
But to have a superhero that is a little erratic maybe could be interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love, cause we've already seen, you know, we saw Robert Redford, oh, he's a bad guy. And we saw, you know, in the original Iron Man, oh, he's a bad guy. We don't need that again. But we could use a guy that's just a jerk. A superhero, but he's a jerk.
Yeah.
We might have to wait for the Eric O'Grady Ant-Man for that.
Tony definitely has his moments, but, but I think that they're probably going to at least talk some about that, about Hank's, however much they delve into it, because it seems like redemption is a main thing for Scott's plotline, right?
Yes.
Because he's getting out of prison in the trailer.
Well, interestingly enough, last week or week before last, I'm losing track now, they relaunched Ant-Man with Scott in it. And sort of readdressed the "I stole my gear from you," and then the plot line, to be real brief, was he was going to audition to be the head of security for Stark Enterprises, and then bails out after getting the job to go spend time with
his daughter.
Right. So I don't know how much they're going to deal with ex-wives and Cassie being a part of that story, but. Since the new stuff they're coming out with seems to be aligning more with the MCU, it's entirely possible.
Yeah, and we do see his daughter in the trailer for that. So I think that's definitely going to be a part of that. Go ahead.
And that certainly seems to be another theme of what this movie is going to be about, especially when Hank is talking to Scott about, you know, it's not about our world, saving our world, it's about saving theirs, and you want to earn the look in that daughter's eye. He's not just talking about Scott, you know, I think he's talking about himself as well, and, you know, it seems like there is a certain estrangement between him and Hope.
Right, right. I think there wasn't we spent a long time last week dissecting the Age of Ultron trailer, and I don't think there was, unless I've missed them, there wasn't anywhere near the level of Easter egg treasure in the Ant-Man one. But who knows? This is the first one, and I'm sure we'll have a trailer that will go along with Age of Ultron. So who knows? We may get more things in the second trailer. I will say, as I was delving into, IMDb and looking at some stuff, it was actually last week when I was looking up Agent Carter, and I saw that Agent Carter has a credit in Age of Ultron and also in Ant-Man.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the Howard Stark angle because right. We're going to, we may find out that Hank had something to do with S.H.I.E.L.D. at some point and been in there with because right. if I'm correct, IMDb showed that
John Slattery.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're going back to the older Howard Stark. So
makes me curious. At what point does Dominic Cooper
turn into
John Slattery and grow about a foot?
There's that.
He can go from Howard Hughes to Walt Disney.
Yeah.
And that's very much the way that they've played those characters. But okay, cool. Any other final thoughts on Ant-Man or what we're looking forward to seeing when that comes out this summer?
Well, I don't know how we passed over the part that the man is riding on a flying ant.
There is that.
It is a mighty steed.
The 7-year-old me that saw that when I was with Avengers in 1972 squeed, okay?
Totally.
I clapped my hands like an 8-year-old at the circus.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is that I think that Guardians of the Galaxy kind of proved to us that no matter how crazy something sounds, you know, two of our major supporting characters are a talking tree and a talking raccoon, and yet it was awesome!
I was on record from the first mention that Rocket Raccoon was going to be everybody's favorite, because that guy is Wolverine and Captain America and wedged together.
Like the Punisher or Cable or something, you know, with the big weapons.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, so that's definitely an aspect that, you know, if you had told me Ant-Man 2 years ago, I would just have kind of said, okay, there's no way they can do that. But I will say for the MCU, they surprise me every time in terms of, you know, and at first I thought, I was like, Thor, really? And I like picked up, you know, some Thor comics to look at, and I was like, this sounds like the dumbest thing ever. How can they possibly make this cool? And yet, thanks to everybody who was in it, but I gotta give Kenneth Branagh, the director of the first one, a little bit of props for that, for elevating it to a level that was, I think, above where they had it in the comics. You know, they've got my trust. If anybody can make flying around on an ant awesome, then it's gonna be these guys.
What do you guys think about Edgar Wright's leaving the project?
I think that Edgar, when you look at his previous work, I think maybe he was going to go for a more comedic angle.
Yes.
And he was not, again, because this predated the big plan for Marvel, that he probably, once they said, look, we've got to wedge all this stuff in here and make it fit with everything else, that he lost interest, and that's not surprising, and I don't really judge him or Disney on that. I mean, I kind of would have liked to have seen one, but I think it really would have been Shaun of the Ant-Man when we got done. and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just not what,
just very,
it's not going to fit in with, with what they've done.
It would have probably turned into more almost of a parody of the superhero genre, as much of his, the Coronado trilogy is like, parody of zombie movies, parody of cop movies, parody of alien invasion movies.
Right.
But on the other hand, I never would have expected that the guy who did the live action Scooby-Doo was going to give me Guardians of the Galaxy. So.
Valid point. Definitely. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Some people can surprise you, of course.
Scrappy did it.
Yeah. Scrappy did it.
and then, you on the reverse side, when they did the original Daredevil with Ben Affleck, and you've got the director of Simon Birch, and I'm like, what, really? Why did Kevin Smith turn this down?
yeah, but Well, Daredevil had lots. Daredevil was nowhere near as bad as I was expecting it to be, because I saw it well after it had come out, and everybody was picking on Ben Affleck and everything. And it was not, maybe it was that I went in with low expectations, but I didn't think it was anywhere as bad as what I was expecting.
See, I still think Affleck was a great Matt Murdock.
He was a great Matt Murdock.
Yeah, and I agree. And, I mean, part of that goes back to the fact that he himself was a major fanboy for that character. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, and this is going to sound like the ultimate nerd argument, but go watch the director's cut.
Oh, yeah?
Because there is stuff that was cut out that puts everything in context. And I was actually funny, we should be talking about this. I was listening to another podcast on how movies get made that had mm-hmm. Ed Brubaker tearing this movie apart, and he was very even-handed about it. And Ed Brubaker was a writer of Daredevil at one point, and he said the director's cut makes this a lot more sense. But what happened was they went in front of focus groups, and focus groups liked the romance more than some of the other stuff. So they focused on that and dropped some of the. There was an entire Coolio. I'm not making this up. Coolio subplot that. Involves the Kingpin killing somebody.
Right.
So it's not a bad movie. It's just not a great movie. And the it made less sense with all of the stuff the directors wanted cut out. And the thing is that Kevin Feige was involved, but didn't have the power that he has
that
now.
That he does now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of things that he didn't want done, and there were some insiders at the time over at Marvel and DC that were going, this is how you ruin a superhero movie is because you lose touch of where they show all these iconic images without giving them any context. And that's really where the flaws in that movie are. But I think it's a perfectly good story. And I thought Ben Affleck was exceptional. And I will not bring up to him, should I ever meet him, that he swore that he would never put on a superhero costume again.
Yeah.
All right. So we've gotten a little bit far afield from Ant-Man, but still good stuff and still MCU, so that's all good. So one other thing that I would like to do before we jump into our main topic is the Phantom's Corner. Phantom Troublemaker does a little bit on Earth Station Who, talking about toys and everything, and of course that is a big thing that you do on Needless Things. So any news or any interesting stuff going on with Marvel toys?
We are right on the verge of a big wave of Avengers-related items.
Mm-hmm.
All of the solicitations are starting to come out. Diamond Select Toys, with their Marvel Select line, they have a new Black Widow coming out.
Awesome.
They've already shown pictures of the new movie-style Ant-Man figure, which looks very nice. And Diamond has been doing really, really good things with their toys lately. They've got the 7-inch scale figures that they do that the articulation is sometimes a little wonky on.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be really getting into making a figure with a nice profile and with nice articulation.
Mm-hmm.
This Ant-Man looks to be one of them.
And good likenesses of the people actually playing him?
Yes, for the movie style figures, they do have the licensed likenesses.
Mm-hmm.
However, I have not seen a Paul Rudd head. I've only seen the helmeted head.
Right, right.
So I don't know if they do have an unmasked head with it. So different actors have different things.
Right.
Scarlett Johansson apparently has a deal where her action figures can't come with guns that she can hold. But Hasbro also obviously has their Marvel Legends line.
Mm-hmm.
And while we don't have a direct movie tie-in set yet, in February, the Avengers Infinite, which is the first tie-in line, it's not movie related, but it's an Avengers line that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the movie, and it's all comic book based stuff, and they've got Thor, Hawkeye, Iron Fist, Machine Man, which is the first time he's been done in the line,
mm-hmm.
Scarlet Witch, which is the first time she's been done well in the line.
Okay.
Carol Danvers is Captain mm-hmm. Marvel, and the new red and blue costume looks fantastic, and then Sentry, which is like the 50th time they've done him. I don't understand that. But those will be hitting in February, and those are going to be part of the first big merchandising wave. You also have Lego sets, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen the Ant-Man set that apparently debuted at London.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about that one a little bit?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. I mean, this is just what I read earlier today is it's going to be what they put, the price they put up was about £19.99. So I'd assume it's probably going to be about $25 in the US.
At least. Yeah.
And it's going to come with an Ant-Man figure and supposedly may even come with a little Ant-Man micro figure.
Ooh, neat.
But no other real details about it yet. And like they didn't have it. They didn't have any pictures of it. This is what we're coming out with. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that happens a lot at the London Toy Fair. The American New York International Toy Fair is in February and they'll probably show the rest of the collection. They've already, pictures have already leaked of the Age of Ultron Lego sets, which they're doing Avengers Tower. They have some kind of castle. It's unspecified what it is, but it's a castle with Baron Strucker.
Okay.
It looks like it's maybe that Hydra hideout that we see in the trailer.
Yeah, it's something along those lines. And then they've got new minifigures of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, of course, Ultron, and tons of the Ultron drones.
Right.
But they've, so far, four Age of Ultron sets have leaked. Just keep an eye out for those. And of course on Needless Things, we'll be doing our Toy Fair podcast at the end of February to cover everything that was revealed at Toy Fair.
Awesome. We'll definitely have to tune into that. The one other thing that I saw that had come up this week, actually I think it was today or yesterday, was some stuff about the Funko Pop figures.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're, if you're not familiar with Funko, it's a toy company that is very rapidly making strides in the toy aisles. They have a massive number of licenses, that they've managed to snatch up over the years. Back to the Future, Firefly, Universal Monsters, Hellraiser, Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. Well, Doctor Who, but so far just in the pop.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the pop figures are vinyl collector figures with big adorable eyes and they're little tiny unarticulated large headed figures and they are one of the biggest collector's items available right now. I don't really consider them to be toys, but they're you know, and they're in that vinyl collector toy.
There's something that a lot of people our age I know have like on their desk. You know,
right.
So.
And the magic of them is,
as I say, with a little dancing bobble-headed Groot right here on my desk.
Yes.
Well, and that's the thing is, they're licensed figures that everybody can recognize. They're $10 a piece, so they're very affordable to just go buy one if you see them. And they're everywhere now. They're in Target, they're in Walmart, they're in Toys R Us, they're in, you know, in the mall, in Spencer Gifts or whatever, if anybody goes to malls anymore. I don't know who does that. But the Age of Ultron pop figures were shown. They're as we get closer to Toy Fair, things start popping up. And this is one of them. They've got Ultron, Hulk, Thor. They've got the seven characters.
I think Vision's one of them.
Yeah, yep. Vision is one of them, a weirdly gray Vision.
And speaking of gray.
Speaking of gray, there's a Hot Topic exclusive Savage Hulk, which is gray with red around his eyes.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows what that is yet. There's speculation that I'm not going to get into. But your big beef was no Black Widow.
Indeed. I was unhappy about the fact that when they showed it, they, you know, had lots of different ones, but no Black Widow. But hopefully they will be making up for that with other stuff.
I would put money down before the end of the year we'll see a second wave of those that will include Black Widow and some other characters from the movie. Because Bruce Banner is one that I feel they'll definitely get to.
Because,
I mean, they're very expansive with this license and this style. So I would expect to see more before the end of the year.
Very cool.
And I think the picture's not really doing it justice because it looks like everything we've seen from the Vision so far, that it's, you know, he's obviously got the red, the gold, and the green. And so I just think the kind of the tiny pictures that we've seen so far maybe aren't as evocative of the real colors that we're going to see in the final figure.
Well, and there also tend to be a lot of changes in the process between the original licensing material and the production of the toy, the prototype of the toy, and then whatever makes it to market. I mean, very often you can buy a toy and the picture of that toy on the back of the toy
the
looks
same.
Nothing like the toy.
Yep, exactly.
So there's no telling what he's going to look like.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Something that I realize, of course, they haven't shown Vision in any of the trailers for Age of Ultron yet, but is he going to be completely CGI in the actual movie?
I would imagine it's Paul Bettany doing mocap.
Okay. So,
that would be where my money's at.
Yeah,
because they've said, or he's himself has said, you know, in the past he was able just to record his lines and get out, mm-hmm. and now they expect him to actually work, so... He's at least physically there.
Okay.
Whether they've got an actual costume, whether it's like it's mocap and everything else.
Mm-hmm. He did make some mention of wardrobe mm-hmm. and the spandex, so there or the leather.
Okay.
And I don't remember the exact details on it, but it could be like what we've seen of Ultron, where there is somebody wearing, you know, something that's vaguely Ultron looking
right.
and then put the mocap on top mm-hmm. of it.
So. That's what I would expect is because that's what Marvel seems to like to do mm-hmm. when they can is put a guy in a costume that looks right mm-hmm. and then they digitally enhance it like they did with Winter Soldier's arm.
Mm-hmm.
That's typically what they're doing. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's in a very Vision looking costume mm-hmm. that gets enhanced in the final movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. All right.
Back to the Ant-Man figure real quick. Mm-hmm. Cause I was looking at it because if you ever come to my place, it's loaded with
Indeed.
Little figures.
Uh-huh.
That 7-inch from, Marvel Select comes with a little tiny Ant-Man that comes with
Aww.
It. I think it's a 7-inch figure. It looks like a 1-inch, Ant-Man
That's
comes along
awesome.
With it. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great, great accessory thing to come along with that. Very cool. All right. So we're going to take a little bit of a break here. And when we come back, we are going to talk about all the stuff in the MCU that falls in that gap in between Agent Carter and the beginning of Phase 1.
The following is fully endorsed by the Needless Things Podcast and NeedlessThingsSite.com. There's just one place to go for all your podcast needs. Needless Things Podcast. Needless Things Podcast. A giant podcast of dorkery for every occasion. Thousands of subjects in every shape, size, and color. And because we eliminate the middleman, we can cast all of our pods factory direct to you. Where do you go when you want to hear about toys, movies, music, and TV? Needless Things Podcast. Needless Things Podcast. And this weekend only, take advantage of our special liquidation sale. All episodes are absolutely free. Don't forget, they make great Christmas presents. And what better way to say, I love you, than with the gift of a Needless Things Podcast. Needless Things Podcast. Needless Things Podcast. Hello, this is Phantom Troublemaker, president of NeedlessThingsSite.com. I like their podcast so much, I bought the company. Needless Things Podcast. One location. We're on Podbean under Uncategorized. My, where did you get that lovely podcast?
Needless Things Podcast. We talk dorkery. And that's all.
All right, we're back. And now we're going to be talking about all that that stuff in between. The stuff that comes from the flashbacks in different movies and references to things that we don't really get to see. So we know from the continuity of Agent Carter, we've got, of course, the first Avenger happens, and then it seems like the Agent Carter series happens, and then my guess is that the stuff that is the flashbacks in S.H.I.E.L.D. happens between Agent Carter and the one-shot?
It depends, because
okay.
I've actually tried to put together sort mm-hmm. of a timeline
uh-huh.
on some of this stuff. All right, you guys remember the Agent Carter one-shot
right.
that they
right.
did? All right, that comes as SSR becomes S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
That
and
happens.
Oh,
no, you go ahead.
They've said as much that that the events of the one shot do occur, like around the same time as the Agent Carter series, or at least this.
Well,
it's got to
be
season.
After that because that's
yeah,
the point
right.
at which it is no longer the SSR.
And this
right.
is why related to our earlier conversation mm-hmm. about there being another Agent Carter series.
Mm-hmm.
If there is, then it's going to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. series because Cap goes down. In 45.
Mm-hmm.
War ends in September of 45.
Right.
So this is 46.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Do we have a date on the one shot?
The one shot is sometime at the end of 1946. It is before 46.
Oh.
Huh. So we've got a window, and the only date I can find is the conversation between Howard Stark and Hugh Jones over the Roxon refinery is January. So we've got between January and at the latest December of 46 to go from SSR to SHIELD.
Huh. Okay. Well, that'll be interesting, because I was I actually went back and watched the SHIELD flashbacks to try and figure out where those were going to go, and I specifically was thinking, okay, well maybe this comes, you know, when SHIELD has where an SSR is actually SHIELD, but no, she still has the SSR insignia on when she goes in to interrogate him.
If, yeah, when you're talking about Reinhardt, that's in 45. That's actually before they come to the office.
Oh.
Yeah, because she's still wearing her army outfit.
Right.
When they capture him.
Mm-hmm.
As are Jim, Marita, and Dum Dum Dugan.
Right, right. So basically, then what happens is it's actually the first Avenger and then the flashbacks from SHIELD that involve Peggy, and then Agent Carter, and then the one shot? Is that
yes.
right? Okay.
Well, there's a guy out here, I'll try and find it and send it to you, Jen, that has, it
did
shows how he
cut,
did it.
Right?
Did the super cut,
yeah.
right?
The
and
omnibus.
He puts all of this stuff together, and the only thing, of course, he's missing with the super cut is
Agent Carter.
Mm-hmm. And the Reinhardt interview, as it was was pointed out, is right around, it's right after Paperclip.
Okay.
Which is where
they brought all the Nazis over, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Creates, the Winter Soldier for Hydra.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's right after that, and like probably within days of these events.
Okay.
Because we're stuck in that window of it's gotta be 45, it can't be 46 yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, the war is, you know, is winding down.
Right.
So, we don't have a lot of time to play with if Cap goes down in, and I think it's, 44 around, like the middle of 44 when Cap goes down and then it's all, Peggy and the Howling Commandos from then on.
Okay, cool. So then there's another flashback scene in SHIELD. In addition to the interrogation one, where it looks like we're seeing possibly the Kree that ends up being in the guest house, right? So do you know where that ends up being?
Well, the obelisk is 45.
Okay.
All right. And probably early on in 45.
Okay.
Or late 44.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start talking about the Kree in the interrogation, so that's somewhere probably middle of 45.
Okay.
So it's a really condensed timeline because they have to deal with real world events, obviously.
Right.
And, and I'm sure there's one out there like on the Marvel Cinematic Wiki or something that goes into the details on it. But yeah, I'm positive. I mean, we haven't seen any other Kree, and so the assumption is that Kree is the one that's in the guest house, and that's the one that we're talking to Reinhardt / Whitehall about.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of seems to be the buffer point for SHIELD and Peggy, because she puts him in there, says, you know, adios, and then the next we see of him so far is in SHIELD, looking fabulous for a man his age.
there is that, definitely. Okay, so something that I'd been talking about with Brian when it first came up on Agent Carter is the whole thing with Roxxon oil and where that ends up going. Can you give us just a little bit of a background from the comics, just briefly showing how that might materialize in the MCU?
Yeah, I made a bad guess when I saw that. I thought I was going to be a genius for about 5 minutes and then failed. But when the Leviathan agent, whose name escapes me at the moment, draws the heart with a snake
right.
on it,
Leap Brannis.
My first thought is that's the Serpent Crown. And the reason I thought that is because previously, and I'll get into what the Serpent Crown is briefly mm-hmm. in a moment, is Hugh Jones appears. Mm-hmm. And the first time I saw Hugh Jones, I was about 14 years old mm-hmm. and I was reading The Avengers, and he was the head of Roxxon Oil, and he was also a snake cultist
right.
because Marvel loves snake cults and snake organizations. They're thick on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And there's this what I refer to universally as evil snake hat
right.
called the Serpent Crown mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. is tied to a vaguely Cthulhu-like a Chthonian god called Seth,
uh-huh.
which might be also the Egyptian Set
mm-hmm.
In some context. And it makes you crazy and gives you power to control space and time and other whatever the writer needs you to do at any given moment.
Right.
And so anyway, when Hugh Jones showed up, I went, well, that dude wears an evil snake hat. I'm waiting on that to show up.
Right, and Hugh Jones is the Ray Wise character, right?
Yeah, and you told me mm-hmm. before I watched the episode. Uh-huh. You were like, "Wait, Ray Wise never plays a good guy," and that is
yeah,
that
Ray
is,
Wise never shows up to be on the side of the angels.
Yeah.
And I said to her, "That's patently untrue. There is, in fact, one episode of Psych where he is a nice man, and other than that, he just plays a dirtbag." So when I'm watching the episode, and he goes, "Mr. Jones," and I went, "That's Hugh Jones. That man gave me nightmares when I was a child. That's a terrible person." So it would be a missed opportunity if S.H.I.E.L.D. did not deal with the Serpent Crown at some point. Mm-hmm. It is one of their iconic items, and I would go so far as to say that it's as iconic not quite as iconic as the Cosmic Cube, mm-hmm. which we in the MCU know as
the Tesseract.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that they may sell the Serpent Crown as another one of the Infinity Stones.
Huh. Okay. That's neat. And
then again, it could just be a heart with a snake on it.
It could be a boat. Who knows? The other thing that I'd asked you about was, and this also, I believe, does tie in with Roxxon, is Leviathan. Which Leap Brannis was when he was drawing his little heart in the sand thing about how Leviathan fits into the backstory of everything.
Yeah, Marvel 616 comic universe Leviathan is a relatively new thing. Showed up about 2010 in a mm-hmm. Title called Secret Warrior. I think it was either in Secret Wars or 2, 3, whatever it is.
Yeah, it was Warriors.
Was a warrior, Secret Warriors, which also introduced Daisy.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So Quake, Sky.
Gotcha.
Right. Quake. And, they were a third component of the coming out of World War II. You had Hydra
mm-hmm.
coming out as, basically, all of the Axis powers, S.H.I.E.L.D. coming out of the Allied powers. And so they introduced, a group of, Eastern Bloc villains in the same mold as S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra that was Leviathan. The only difference is that they took all of them and put them into the deep freeze for a while, and there were about 100,000 or so of them, as I recall.
Wow.
Yeah, and they took elite Eastern Bloc agents, put them in deep freeze while they were trying to come up with their own super soldier program. Now, the deep freeze angle may tie into the Winter Soldier deep freeze mm-hmm. angle. Because in the comics, the Winter Soldier was not created by Aaron Amzola, but was in fact a Soviet agent. I don't know how far they're going to go with that
mm-hmm.
because there was a sort of a three-way, fight between S.H.I.E.L.D. They worked together sort of, rivalry looking for, trying to, accumulate alien artifacts,
mm-hmm.
And they would end up fighting each other, and it was very, almost James Bondian sort of backstory mm-hmm. on it, but they disappeared in 2012 when Nick Fury Jr., which looks like Sam Jackson,
right.
showed up, and we haven't heard peep out of them. And they lost vast number of them fighting S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra, so that just may be something that we saw for a time, because it's not really something that they've addressed since then. And Hickman's got his own thing going as possibly new architect in the Marvel Universe with Secret Wars coming. So they just may end up being a footnote outside of the MCU.
Okay. So yeah, so I think that one of the takeaways with that is that we've got Leviathan as kind of a third group. We've got S.H.I.E.L.D., we've got Hydra, and then we've got Leviathan. And one of the things that I think, and this is just me making wild guesses, but I think that we do have two, you know, as you mentioned, Winter Soldier, of course, being a Soviet thing, and then we also have the other main Russian-related character who is close to my own heart, is Black Widow. So it's possible that we could see some overlap between Leviathan and Black Widow.
And since we don't know what her relationship to the Soviets was, I mean, well, and we haven't addressed the fact that in the comics that Romanoff is really old.
Okay.
Yeah. So
go ahead, John.
I think in the in the materials in the movies and stuff, I think they've mentioned the Red Room at least once or twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she certainly still comes out of that much like she did in the comics.
Yeah, exactly. And she comes out as a Soviet agent. The only problem is the timeline. Unless mm-hmm. she is really old,
mm-hmm.
she can't be a Soviet agent. So
yeah, but you know, unless Bucky is really old, he can't be from that either. So
right, exactly.
So clearly they have some tech that could be keeping people young and beautiful forever. So
you mean like possibly Kree blood that's kept Whitehall around since World War II?
Well, Kree the. Actually, it wasn't Kree.
Well, it was inhuman.
Right. It was
him cutting
inhuman.
up Madge and Amick, right?
Right.
Yeah, what I thought was, that was Daikin Lakin, I think her name is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Sky's mom.
Right, yeah, whoever it was, yeah.
Which I thought was a really nice kind of neat little mini dollhouse reunion
uh-huh.
between Sierra and Lawrence Dominic.
I love Whedon's use of actors. He gets his people and he hangs on to them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and I can never pronounce his name. The guy
Enver. I can't pronounce his
Enver
last name.
Yeah, Enver with the last name we can't pronounce.
Yeah.
That's
well, you know, he's already,
yeah.
he's already been in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he the cop?
Yeah, he's the young cop. There's the two cops,
right.
and Cap tells them to block off the street, and
mm-hmm.
they're like, "Who are you, buddy?"
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So, give me all the dollhouse people. Bring every one of those guys back. I'd love it.
Very cool. Very cool. So, another part that we get to see, rewatched for the bajillionth time Iron Man 2, which I think does not get a fair shake. A lot of people really hated it, and I thought it was a lot of fun. But
I like it.
I still don't quite understand the criticism.
I think that Whiplash is not the coolest villain that we ever got in the MCU. And some of the fight scenes, I think the best fight scene is actually between Iron Man and Rhodey at Tony's birthday party when he's drunk. Not so much. I think that's actually a more fun fight scene than the climactic one.
Well, funny story, Whiplash, not that cool a villain in the comics either.
Valid.
So, yeah.
Who's actually cooler in the movie than he is in the comics?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a titanium whip.
Right.
Congratulations.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But talking about Iron Man 2, there's several things that tie in with other things there, including a good bit of stuff with older... Howard Stark. And, mm-hmm. I think that it's, you know, we were mentioning the fact that I hadn't caught the fact that it's, and I always forget the actor's name, the guy from Mad Men that plays older Howard Stark.
John Slattery.
That's it, John Slattery. That John Slattery is the one that's going to be appearing in Ant-Man, but, some very cool stuff talking about the way that, you know, that Howard was developing the company, and of course that also ties in with the whole premise of the bad guy in that is, of course, Vanko, who had a falling out, and I went back, and I don't have it in front of me, but I wrote down the dates and everything of when Ivan Vanko was, or not Ivan Vanko, Anton Vanko, emigrated to the U.S., when he became a citizen, and then when he got kicked out. And that's actually in the 60s, and yet we've seen him in Agent Carter also. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if they weave those things together there.
Yeah, and Vanko, Anton. Vanko,
right, right.
Is,
Vanko Sr.
Right, was, I really would be interested to see what, because they may do some very cool stuff with him, mm-hmm. because in the comics, and this is a guy, keep in mind, his first appearance is 7 issues into Iron Man's original run.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the Crimson Dynamo, which
right.
is mm-hmm. a Soviet version of Iron Man,
mm-hmm.
and was the first time really that Stark went up against somebody that was sort of an opposite number mm-hmm. at that point. So I'd actually like to see maybe him put on some Stone Age looking or Cold War mm-hmm. if you prefer suit of power armor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and. Another thing that has been rumored, there's all kinds of people that write about various rumors about the MCU online, but there was one that was a guy that was talking about, and I posted it up on the group, I believe it was like Marvelous Dave or something, who was talking about, ways that, some of the future movies may tie back in with stuff, and, of course, There's been a wonderful meme series the last week or so mm-hmm. about causes of civil war, and all the you know Star Trek and Star Wars and Cumberbatch was a better Sherlock and things
yep.
like that. But you know what causes the conflict in civil war? And of course we've seen in that leaked scene that I posted to the boards last week that's got the conversation between. Tony and Steve, we can definitely see that there's some stuff building there. But another angle that was thrown in that I saw is the possibility that Bucky actually is the one that kills Howard and Maria Stark. So I don't know if that jives with anything that was in the comics.
I think there's certainly some validity to that. And obviously we know like in the comics you read Winter Soldier stuff that Winter Soldier was behind a lot of assassinations
right.
where, you know, they never found the guy, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And it always struck me, at least in the first Iron Man movie, that, you know, especially after Stain turns on Tony, and
mm-hmm.
obviously, if you read the comics, you knew Stain was always going to be the bad guy, but, like, once he turns on him, that's
mm-hmm.
the possibility that Stain killed Howard and Maria in order to take control of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And may have done so through, I mean, for all we know, now that we can go back and readdress some of these things,
mm-hmm.
that Stain was actually Hydra.
True.
That's one of the thoughts I've had on it is that maybe they'll start, because everything means something is what they keep saying.
It's all connected.
It's all connected. Mm-hmm. And, it seems like a missed opportunity, and it would be a good impetus for Secret Wars
mm-hmm.
if Bucky kills, Howard Maria and then Cap is going to defend his buddy
right
and now. Yeah. Because
mm-hmm.
the whole secret identity, reasoning is out the window since
everybody
you know,
knows everybody.
Who everybody
right.
is. Yeah.
And I don't think the whole, well, he was brainwashed is going to go over well with Tony.
No, he's, for a very smart man, he's not particularly rational when it comes to his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think it'd be a great idea. Actually, I think you could get a lot of mileage out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see the way that they weave these things together. Something we were talking about last week with the Age of Ultron trailer, and we've mentioned a little bit here, is I believe in the comics, Ultron was created by Hank Pym, right?
That's correct.
I believe
yes.
the way that this seems to be coming together is the way that they've described the Age of Ultron in the Age of Ultron trailer is that Tony is restarting an abandoned program that was in development at one point, and he kind of restarts it. And it sounds like it may be that Howard Stark and Hank Pym designed like a proto Ultron at some point, maybe. And
well, there.
Mm-hmm.
There is in one of the toys that's coming up, on the back of the Ultron toy, mm-hmm. they've kind of spoiled where he comes from.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's Chitauri Tech or
right.
Kree Tech.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
Tony
found kind of in the wreckage of the Battle
right,
of New York.
Right.
Now, that doesn't preclude any of the things you just said.
Right.
I just think that
mm-hmm.
it's entirely possible that this one edition, because my first guess was it's the Waldo, that arm that he's constantly emotionally abusing.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Dummy gets his revenge.
yeah, exactly. He puts a dunce hat on it, and I'm thinking, what if he tries to upgrade that thing?
Uh-huh.
And it goes nuts because it's got every reason in the world to be pissed off at him because he's been just horribly abusive to it. And we know the man deals with AI as he's talking to Jarvis all the time.
Right.
So what if the dunce is actually an AI.
Right.
And, now it's super pissed and it thinks it's in a Disney movie. So.
And it is.
And, you know, y'all have already talked about this trailer, but I didn't get a chance mm-hmm. to. I'm watching it. Chills running down my spine. 12-year-old me is having a stroke in the back of my head that I am, you know, I'm living in an age where I get to see this. And I stop and I went, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
That's Pinocchio.
Yep.
And thanks, Disney. You've now ruined that song for every child alive. It's now the scariest song in the world.
I want that song. I want that version of the song because I can find I can find kind of darker versions of There Are No Strings on mm-hmm. Me, and I can find the kind of underlining symphony piece mm-hmm. to it, but I can't find the two of them together. So obviously that must be something especially made for the trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get it in the
soundtrack.
On the soundtrack, and if we do, I'll
all right, Overlords Disney, if you're listening to this, we want this on the soundtrack.
Excellent. I'm sure they will step to it, having heard.
We want you to send Earth Station MCU a fully licensed copy to use on the show.
Indeed, yes. That will be our new theme music.
We need intro music,
and I want every childhood song to be turned into some kind of scary song from Marvel.
That would be excellent. All kinds of well, you know, you got Into the Woods. I think that's as close as it's maybe going to come for some of these things. But all right. So anything else that you can think of that we haven't touched on?
The what kicks off Civil War memes enough?
Yes, yes. Enough of those. There were some funny ones, but
oh, there were. Yep. They've run their course very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite are still the ones where you know, Cap comes back at Tony with stuff about his father, like
yes.
Oh, your dad
loved
liked me
yeah.
more than you.
Yeah, yeah. The one that where Tony says my dad didn't love me, and Cap says he loved me, and gives him a dirty look. So yeah, but those are that meme's probably pretty much beat to death, I think.
We could always revive the Hail Hydra meme.
Let's not although actually that did get a brief resurrection today, and I was in part guilty of spreading that around. I believe it was actually Mr. Mike Gordon from last week, wasn't it, who people were posting up the stuff with people hugging, and they had the group hug of S.H.I.E.L.D. people, and somebody said, oh, what's that, you know, what's Agent Ward doing in there? And I believe it was Mike Gordon who said, hug Hydra.
Aww.
Have you guys touched on Daredevil? We were talking about
Netflix,
it earlier, but
yeah,
the Netflix stuff.
Not really. I mean, we mentioned we've talked about that it's there and it's a thing coming up. But yeah, you got any ideas of how that may tie in?
Well, I don't know how much of a tie-in we're going to have mm-hmm. unless Defenders really kicks off, which is what they intend to do once they've done all the individual series,
uh-huh.
is put them together in one team series. It's just there was some stuff from Charlie Cox, who is the showrunner on it and was also worked on Boardwalk Empire, was talking earlier this month, I think it was. It was talking about it was going to be a very localized story. They were, instead of being all over the MCU, it's very much going to be a Hell's Kitchen story.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen some visuals come out with them doing the what they did in Frank Miller's comics, where he's going to be coming out in the solid black outfit before he comes down
with the red
mm-hmm. outfit. They want to make it more of a crime drama, which I think is a very, very smart way to go with a street level a superhero, and also in light of and I don't know if we talk about the beloved competition, but with the way
with the way
Gotham has been going and been mm-hmm. successful, that's definitely the right angle. However, there's going to be mentions of the rest of the MCU. At it, you know, the stuff that's going to be on Netflix is not going to stand alone.
Right.
And they've definitely said for this series that it is all connected, just like with everything mm-hmm. else. This is all
part
of that
universe. Even though it's a Netflix thing, it's still going to be tied in.
And yeah, it's localized, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing that I thought was real interesting that I read was that this is and when this kind of thing is done right, it really thrills me, is that this is as much about the Kingpin's journey mm-hmm. as it is Murdoch's journey.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, and if that can be pulled off, you know, that while you may end up hating Wilson Fisk, you know, throughout the story, but if you can understand where he's coming from
mm-hmm.
in a parallel story to the hero, I think that's a lot to hope for, but I think that will come off as amazing if that works out.
Yeah, Ethan and I are both very fond of sympathetic villains, of villains who are the hero of their own story, so.
There are no villains. There are just heroes from a different point of view.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that was who was playing it.
Yeah,
I got super, I thought everybody knew. I got super excited because I was just going through the list of who was going to be in it, mm-hmm. and I saw Vincent D'Onofrio, and it was very much a shut up and take my money kind of moment.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I was
yeah,
like,
totally.
That, you know, the only problem is, I fear, is that he's just going to own every scene he's in. And that might not be a bad thing for the Kingpin, because he is a character who dominates. Yeah.
He needs to have a lot. As much as I love Michael Clark Duncan, mm-hmm. D'Onofrio has the charisma that Wilson Fisk needs.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That Michael Clark Duncan didn't quite have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that'll be fun. I love the people that they're getting to be in a lot of these things.
What the
hell was that? Okay. Okay, anyway.
And we've lost Brian.
Nope, I'm still here. No. I don't know what that was either.
Anyway, okay. I love some of the people that they're getting to be in all of these films, and just going back to like Ray Wise. I mean, what an ultimate, you know, bad guy to heaven things. And looking at, you know, the things that we've got in S.H.I.E.L.D., where we've got, you know, Kyle MacLachlan in there, who's awesome. Mm-hmm. And
damn good casting.
Yes. Oh, took me a second. Yes.
Well indeed. Done.
Yes.
Well, he's either going to have to do in double duty, or we're about to lose him real short.
True. Because he's going to be on Twin Peaks. But yeah. So lots of good casting, lots of neat things from all over the place. So yeah, that's the one thing that we can always say with the MCU is it is all connected. And I think this has been kind of cool in terms of bringing together, some of the little plot threads that have been dropped in different things and showing how they all work together. So, any final thoughts? Anything else that you think would be neat to see, a tie-in that maybe we haven't seen yet? I'd like to know if there's any Hulk stuff that goes back. Because the talk about that having been, you know, related possibly to, the Super Soldier program or something like that.
Right. Well, you definitely get that at the very beginning in the different points in the movie, where, you know, you see a file during the mm-hmm. opening credits for that says Project Rebirth, which is Cap. Also the blue vials that they end up injecting Blonsky with. And also that comes back in, Captain America, the First Avenger, where, you know, it's the same color stuff.
And there's been some comment about, in the
mm-hmm.
news
Blonsky.
About bringing, Abomination, which was,
Tim Roth,
yeah, Blonsky back.
Fantastic
so,
actor that they put as a bad guy.
Absolutely. And we still haven't seen any, news on a Ruffalo Hulk movie, but I think that's kind of
so.
Gotta happen at some point.
Yeah. It's like him and Black Widow are kind of getting the short end of the stick in the movie planning.
But still, yes.
When your power is you have 11 arrows.
Hey, who knows? we may get him on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's lobbying for it, but who knows?
All right, cool. Absolutely. Well, thank you guys all for coming by this evening. And just to go around quick, say goodbye and where we can find you online. Mr. John, how about you?
All right, yeah, thanks for having me. You can find all my stuff at anglotopia.net and tardistopia.net. I'm also on Twitter at John M. Rabin.
Fantastic, awesome. Well, we will definitely look you up. And Mr. Brian Eason, thank you again.
Oh, thank you. And I, you can find me mostly at thegeekforge.org. We cover how we make our cosplay costumes. Mm-hmm. We cover nerdy stuff that we find and every so conventions that we go to. And, every so often, I will actually write something, which I haven't done in a while. So.
And Phantom, good to see you again. Saw you last night, but I'm always happy to have you come by again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm glad I was able to partake in another facet of the Earth Station.
Indeed.
You can find me at needlessthingssite.com, where myself and my cast of writers produce content 5 days a week about movies, music, toys, concerts, cons, any kind of dorkery you can think of. You can also find the Needless Things podcast there. I'm on Twitter as Phantom Turbomaker, because they don't like vowels on Twitter. And on Facebook as El Phantasmus with a PH.
Well, thanks again, gentlemen, and to all of you out there in the Marvel Universe. If you've downloaded us from iTunes or Stitcher, thank you very much, and we would really appreciate it if you could give us a rating and help us to spread the word. We'll be back next week with another episode of Earth Station MCU talking about the new Agent Carter episode, The Blitzkrieg Button, in which we'll hopefully see that big confrontation between Peggy and Stark that they've been showing us bits of the last couple of weeks. I hope you'll join us then. A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy, and if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I had to learn a bit, live a bit, let it all sink in a bit. This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.